Blog Talk Radio.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal wills prevailing. Still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hand. On earth is not his evil. Striving would be losing. Would not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The Prince of Darkness grim, we tremble not for Him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail Him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abided. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Good evening, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. That was Keith Rice and his version of A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And that is the hymn of the Protestant Reformation, penned by none other than Martin Luther himself. And what inspired Martin Luther to write this was, of course, Psalm 46. As I said, welcome to all of my precious brothers and sisters from overseas, from Europe, from here in America, from Canada. I greet all of my brothers and sisters there in Norway, Germany, England, and we just want to welcome you to this broadcast, which happens to be the second broadcast in a series of 95. We're going to be doing a 95-part series in which we're going to be putting our own version out of the 95 thesis. Now, you know, Martin Luther wrote the famed 95 thesis, the document that got the ball rolling when it came to the Reformation. Now, we're going to put out our own version because we need to. It's a must. It's of a great necessity in this hour to put forth a document that will challenge the powers that be in the church who have twisted, corrupted, perverted the church, perverted its doctrine, perverted its church government, and we are not going to have it. We're going to protest it. We're going to protest the abuses and the malpractice, and we're going to put forth 95 propositions, 95 theses, 95 bullet points, if you will. And we're addressing them to the Joint College of African American Bishops. And let's see if anybody over there in that group, in that body, in that corpus, can stand up and say, I'll defend my organization. I'll defend the institution. And the institution needs defending. Because in my opinion, the Joint College of African American Bishops is nothing but a pagan institution. Pagan. It is the daughter of Rome. That's what it is. And don't tell me, we're really Anglicans. Don't give me that dopey answer. What's the difference between Anglican and Catholic? None. The only difference between Catholics and Anglicans really is the fact that in the Catholic Church, the head of the church is the Pope, and in the Anglican Church, the head of the church is the monarch, the King or Queen of England. Both churches have a human head. Christ is not the head of the Catholic Church, and Christ is not the head of the Anglican Church. You read the Anglican Church Constitution, and you will see that the monarch of England, be it male or female, is the head of the church. And Rome says that the head of the church is the Pope. So, we're going to be putting forth 95 propositions. We put one forth yesterday. Today is night two, and we're going to continue until we present all 95, one per broadcast. There's going to be 95 broadcasts dealing with these 95 propositions. And these broadcasts are not going to be long. My goal is to do these under 1 hour. I don't intend to be long-winded. I intend to give you the bullet point. I intend to give you the short subject. I intend to give you this theme for you to read, for you to discuss, for you to analyze, for you to debate. And I hope that someone over there, among the many scholars that they reportedly have over there at the Joint College of African American Bishops, let's see if one of them would dare take the challenge and answer these propositions, take on these bullet points. Let's see if one will do it. Let's see if one of them can justify their paganism. And by justifying, I don't mean canon law. We don't care for canon law. Canon law is nothing more than the doctrines and the traditions of men mixed in with doctrines of demons. That's what canon law is. And I'm well-versed in canon law. I'm well-versed. So you want to talk canon law? We can debate canon law, but I can tell you right now, nothing substitutes scripture. Sola scriptura. That's what we believe in. The scriptures alone, no canon law. We don't want any church traditions. We don't want the writings of the church fathers, Ignatius and Origen and Augustine. They were not Holy Ghost inspired. They're just mere men. the words of Augustine and the words of Origen and Jerome and the rest of the church fathers and Ignatius and all the others, whether they be the apostolic fathers or the Antinocene fathers, whichever one, they're not Holy Ghost inspired. Their word, their opinion carries no weight. The only thing that carries weight is Holy Scripture. And that being 66 books, not the Bible that the Roman Catholic Church has, loaded with apocryphal books. That's not Scripture. Our Bible contains only 66 books. That's the Bible. That's the Bible that we Protestants adhere to. So now, because time is of the essence, and I promise not to keep you long, because, you know, a bullet point is supposed to be short. A proposition is supposed to be short. A thesis is supposed to be short. Now, when you write 95 of them, of course you're going to get a massive piece of paper hanging on the church door, but we're giving you one bullet point per night. And before I get too ahead of myself, let me remind all of you listeners who just can't get enough of the Friday night programs. Well, we're coming back. Sister Marie and I, my co-host, Sister Marie and I are going to be together on Friday, and we're going to be wrapping up the Seven Mountain series that we've been doing. The Seven Mountain series gets wrapped up this Friday, Lord willing. And we're going to be talking about how the Seven Mountain Dominion Heresy, all of those roads, all of the proponents are taking everybody back to pagan Rome, imperial Rome, papal Rome, anti-Christian Rome. So you don't want to miss Friday night, 7 p.m. And we've been having a wonderful time with that Seven Mountain Dominion Heresy foolishness. Last week, last Saturday, we couldn't do it on Friday, so we had to move it back one day because of technical situations and technical issues. We had to move it back one day. But on Saturday, we talked about the prophets, the false prophets of this heretical movement. Well, this week, we're going to be talking about how all roads, all Seven Mountain Dominion roads all go back to Rome. So you don't want to miss this two-hour program coming this Friday. In addition, if you have not purchased your copy, your PDF copy, your electronic copy, the copy that you can read on your tablet and on your laptop, if you have not ordered your copy of Jackass Church Bishops and the Houston Church Bishops, you need to do so. You need to arm yourself with sound theology, sound history, sound biblical exposition. And I'm telling you, folks, we're going to be putting out 12 books this year, 12 books dealing with the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church. And the devil's not going to stop there. Because what he's doing with the African-American church, he's going to be taking to every church. But we can see its manifestation. We can see how Satan is bound to take over the church. And we can see him doing it with alacrity when it comes to the African-American church. So you need to get your copy of Jackass Church Bishops and the Houston Church Bishops, and all you have to do is go to the website, paganbishops.com, paganbishops.com, click on the donate button. Each book is $15. You will be supporting the ministry and what we do here. And what we do here is honorable. And what we do here is of God. And what we do here is for the benefit of God's people, for the benefit of the saints, to protect you, to empower you, to open your eyes, to arm you with truth, so that you wouldn't get hoodwinked from these highfalutin fake bishops who all they want to do is enslave you. They want to do to you what the Roman Catholic Church was doing to people in the Dark Ages, and that is to keep you in the dark, to enslave you, to control you. That's what they want to do. But we're going to protest every abuse, every malpractice, every heretical teaching, every perverted form of church government. We're going to speak out against it. Now, yesterday's proposition, which was Proposition 1, yesterday's proposition was this. Why does the Joint College of African American Bishops seek to establish and maintain ecumenical ties with Papal Rome, considering that the Book of Revelation calls this apostate institution, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth? Why would anyone in their right mind, why would anyone who has the mind of Christ be seeking to establish ecumenical ties with an institution that God the Holy Spirit called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth? Can someone over there at the Joint College of African American Bishops, can someone over there tell us what in the world are they doing trying to establish ecumenical ties with the Antichrist's church? That's the first one. That's the first proposition. Because since the year 2000, these African-American bishops have been making pilgrimages to Rome trying to get into the graces of the Pope, whether it be John Paul II or Benedict XVI or Pope Francis. They keep running to Rome like a bunch of lap dogs trying to give the Pope a lap dance in hopes that the Pope would look their way. Why? Why would you even bother to go to Rome? Why would you bother to go over there to bow before the Pope and kiss his foot and kiss his ring? For what? He is the Antichrist. He is the current Antichrist until the main Antichrist appears. So we want to know. This is our first thesis. This is our first proposition. This is our first bullet point. Why does the Joint College of African American Bishops seek to establish and maintain ecumenical ties? And we have the documentation that they've been doing it since the year 2000. That means they've been at it for 17 years. Why do they seek to establish and maintain ecumenical ties with Papal Rome? Considering that the Book of Revelation calls this apostate institution Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Proposition number one. Now, let us move on to proposition number two. What are we going to be talking about tonight? What is it that we want to bring forth tonight? What is our argument tonight? Here's the argument. Here's the argument. Proposition 2. If God is calling his people out of the harlot church Rome, and you can find that in Revelation 17 verses 1 through 7 and Revelation 18 verses 1 through 8. Those are the two scriptures. Those are my proof text. My proof text to buttress the argument. If God is calling his people out of the harlot church Rome, why is it that the Joint College of African American Bishops is leading God's people back into the harlot church's midst? If God is calling his people out, how, under what inspiration, what proof text do these bishops have to be leading God's people back into an allegiance, into the midst of the harlot church, when God says, come out of her, ye my people? Someone over there at the Joint College of Bishops has to answer this question. And I'm giving you scripture. I'm showing you from the book of Revelation that in the end times, in this hour, in this moment, in this day, it is the Spirit of God who is saying to his people, come out of her, ye my people. And the her in the text is Papal Rome. How can it be that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, is calling his people out of the harlot church, and these bishops are leading people back into the harlot church? How can it be? How can it be? That's tonight's bullet point. This, and we deserve an answer. These guys want us to submit to them. These bishops want us to submit to them. They want us to follow them. They're going contrary to the word of God. They're violating the scriptures. They're going contrary to what the Holy Ghost is saying. Can someone over there, can one of their scholars, can one of their erudites, can one of their sages, please answer this important question? Because it's, I'm dumbfounded. If God is saying one thing, and they're saying something else, the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. God is not in the lying business. If God says come out, you come out. If your house is surrounded by a SWAT team, and the SWAT team says come out, whoever's in there, come out. And come out with your hands up. You better come out with your hands up. You better come out with your hands up. And God is calling his people out. But we have these bishops leading the people back to Rome, leading them back to canon law, leading them back to pagan liturgies, leading them back to the Dark Ages. If God is saying, come out, I'm light, walk in the light as I'm in the light, and these guys are leading us back into darkness, how can they scripturally justify it? That's the question of the evening. And we eagerly await for a reply, an answer, a rebuttal, a counter-argument from this joint college. Does it make sense, my brothers and sisters? Does it make sense? Well, it makes a lot of sense to me. It makes a lot of sense to me. Now, I want to show you first and foremost that God called Abraham out. I want to show you that there is a recurring motif in Scripture, and I won't be long. My brothers and sisters, I won't be long. I don't need to beat a dead horse, or in this case, I don't need to beat a dead jackass. And I'm referring to the book Jackass Church Bishops. I don't need to beat a dead jackass. I don't need to be long-winded. I'm going to present to you six arguments tonight. First and foremost, I want to show you that God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. God called Abraham out of the original, he called him out of the original Babylon. Secondly, I want to show you how God called Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Thirdly, I want to show you how God called Israel out of Egypt. It's called the Exodus. Fourthly, I want to show you how Christ said that he is building a community of called out ones. Fifthly, I want to show you how Paul encouraged the believers to come out from among them. And lastly, sixth and last, I want to show you how the Bible says in this last days that God is calling anyone who's trapped, anyone who is trapped in the papal church, in this hour, the Spirit of God is telling you to get out because he's about to judge the papal church. The very church that the Joint College of Bishops is asking you to join, that church is scheduled, is on the docket to be judged. So first and foremost, let me take you to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, and I won't be, listen, this is all going to be scripture tonight. This is going to be scripture. And then when these guys respond, if there's anyone over there at the Joint College who's got the chutzpah to respond, maybe if they got what it takes to respond, maybe one of those guys or gals over there can man up and respond. Because this is designed to engender discussion and debate. We're discussing, you debate, and we're expecting for one of the clowns over there, because that's what they are. They're clowns. Can one of the clowns over there man up? The Bible says in Genesis 12 that God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. So we want to read this. We want to read this. So let us hear what the Bible says in Genesis 12, starting at verse 1.
Chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee.
There you go. Get thee out. Get thee out of where? Get thee out of thy country. What's the country? Or the Chaldees. And from his kindred, his tribe. And from his family, his immediate family. Or the Chaldees was a city that worshipped pagan gods. Pagan deities. And this broadcast is just too short because it was the national deities and then there were family deities. The national deities, which was a male and a female, was worshipped in the temple, and then the family deities were in the cellar of the house. You had tribal deities, you had family deities, and then you had the national deities. And God says to Abraham, get out of that mess. Leave that pagan city. So that's one scripture. Genesis 12, verse 1. And we don't need to be, we don't need to be long. Here's another scripture that I want you to consider. It is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Now please turn to Hebrews 11. And the scripture reading is important because we base everything on scripture. Hebrews chapter 11. And here again, we have the account of God calling Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. In Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 9, Hebrews 11, 9, and these verses show that God called them out, and Abraham and his subsequent descendants were to get out and stay separated. To get out and stay separated. Let's listen, starting at verse 9.
By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Yeah, Abraham looked for a city. Not the city of Ur, or not something, not, you see, in Rome, they call that the celestial city, the eternal city, Rome. Well, what are these bishops doing looking for a city whose founder and maker is not God? You see, Abraham left Ur, he left the pagan center, and he sojourned looking for a city whose founder and maker is God. Listen, folks, God is not the founder of the city of Rome. Vatican City, in fact, the very word Vatican speaks of a Roman deity, the god of death. And Vatican City, the Vatican Church, the whole area, that whole thing is a cemetery. So Abraham left his country, left Ur of the Chaldees, and sojourned and stayed separated And he was looking with his descendants, Isaac and Jacob. They were looking for a city whose founder and maker is God. Not pagan Rome. Mm-mm. No. Here's another scripture that we need to consider in the Abraham category. In the Abraham category, we have Joshua 24. Let's go to Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24. And these are all critical scriptures. Joshua 24. And Joshua 24, these are all for Abraham. And Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times. The other side of the flood means the other side of the Euphrates River. That's where Ur of the Chaldees was. That's where your fathers dwelt. It says, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they, Terah, Abraham, and Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, he took him from the Euphrates, from where Ur the Chaldees was, and led him through the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. So why did God call Abraham out of Ur the Chaldees? Because Abraham was an idolater. God saved him. God opened his eyes. And then says, you need to be separated. You need to leave your father, your father's house, your kindred, your country. It's all pagan. Come out. Come out. It says there, Abraham and Nahor and Terah, they served other gods. Abraham used to be an idolater. He once was an idolater until God saved him. And then finally, the last text for Abraham is Acts chapter 7, Acts 7. And as you can see, all of these, what do they have in common? What do all these verses have in common? The same thing, that God called Abraham out of something. In Acts chapter 7, starting at verse number 3, or verse 2, rather, verse 2, and Stephen said, and he's preaching to the Sanhedrin, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The glory of God appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, when he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land that I will shew thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, the land of Babylon. Then came he and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed into this land wherein ye now dwell. See, God called Abraham out. Out. Out of the land of the Chaldeans. Out. Now, let's go to Lot. Let's go to Lot. Let's go to Lot. We find in Genesis 13. Let's go to Genesis 13. In Genesis chapter 13, verses 12 and 13, Genesis 13, verses 12 and 13, it says, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners exceedingly before the Lord. When Abraham and Lot decided to separate, Abraham stayed where God told him that he should be. But Lot did not obey the Lord, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. When we get to chapter 14, verse 12, it says, and the armies took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, because now he dwelt in Sodom. You see, he begins by pitching his tent towards Sodom, and by the time he's in trouble, he's dwelling inside the city of Sodom. He was hanging out with the wrong people. He was hanging out with men who were sinners exceedingly before the Lord. Exceedingly, exceedingly. But now let us go to chapter 19. I gave you chapter 13. I gave you chapter 14. Now let us go to chapter 19. Chapter 19 of Genesis, and we want to begin reading verse 12. Chapter 19, beginning at verse 12. And notice what God says to this man who first pitched his tent towards Sodom. Then he wound up dwelling in Sodom. And let's see what God says to this man who was in the wrong place. He was in the wrong place because no believer should feel comfortable in the midst of men who are sinners and exceedingly wicked before the Lord. Let us read starting at verse 12. Genesis 19, verse 12.
And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place.
What did the two angels say? What did they say to Lot? Bring them out of this place. Get them out. Not go in. Not go into the city. Not park yourself there. Not make a permanent resident there. But hurry up and get out. Verse 13.
For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shewed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground.
See, God says to get out. He said to Lot, get out. I'm about to destroy this wicked city. It's the same language. It's the very same language you find in Revelation 18 when God is about to judge the harlot church, the apostate church, the pagan church, and God says to his people, it's the same language. It's like Lot 2.0. Get out of her, my people, for her hour of judgment has come. It's Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed all over again. Now, those are the verses for Lot. Lot had no business, pitching his tent towards Sodom and then being found in Sodom and having to flee Sodom. Just like these bishops have no business pitching their tents towards Rome and then getting into the graces of the Pope and getting under the Pope's ecumenical tent. They have no business, these African-American bishops do, pitching their tent towards Rome. No business. And now that they're there, now that they feel comfortable, now that they're part of the ecumenical corpus and fellowship, God says to them, come out. But they don't come out. You know what they're doing? They're leading more people there. They're ordaining more bishops and they're taking them on these pilgrimages to meet the Pope. Now let's consider Israel, the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel. Let's read Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Exodus 3, 1. Let's read.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Out of Egypt. Abraham, out of Ur the Chaldees. Lot, come out of Sodom. Israel, come out of Egypt. Now, let's consider the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the bishop of our souls, the chief shepherd, the archipoimen. Please note what Jesus said in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18. Let's consider. Jesus speaking says, And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. But I say unto thee, Thou art Petros, and upon this rock, or Petra, I will build my church, or ecclesia. What is the church? Well, the church is the community of called out ones. Ek means out, and ecclesia, to call out. Well, when Jesus builds his church, he's calling Jews and Gentiles out of something. He's calling Jews out of dead Judaism. He's calling Jews out of dead Judaism. By the time Jesus comes on the scene, Judaism is a dead religion. So he's calling Jews out of Judaism, out of the darkness, out of the bondage of Judaism. And then he is calling Gentiles out of the darkness and the bondage of paganism. And it is out of these two called out groups that Christ is building his church, but it is a community of called out ones. Abraham was called out. Lot was repeatedly called out. Lot was called out many, many times. That was a dude, that was a guy that needed to be saved again and again and again. And the children of Israel were called out of Egypt. God is constantly calling his people. God's church is a community of called out ones. Jesus said, I will build my church. What is it? What the very word defines what the church is. By design, the church is a community of people that have been called out to stay out. Did you get that? By design. The church is a community of people called out to stay out. They're called out permanently to stay out permanently, to never go back to Ur, to never go back to Sodom, to never go back to Egypt. Jesus said, I will build. What is he building? A community of people that when they're called out, they never go back. You never go back to Egypt. You never go back to Ur. You never go back to Sodom. Never. Ever. Now, we talked about Abraham. We talked about Lot. We talked about Israel. And we just talked about Christ. What is Christ building? What is he building? What specifically will he build? A church. What is the church? In its simplest form, looking at its simple etymology, it's a compound word, ecclesia, the called out ones. Have you been called out of darkness? Have you been called out of a life of sin? And when you were called out of darkness and out of a life of sin, it was a calling that was to be permanent. You were called out of the darkness to remain permanently in the light. You were called to follow Jesus, never again to follow the devil. You were called into a life of holiness, never to go back to a life of sin. You have been called out to stay out. That's the church. That's the church. That's what Jesus is building. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because here we find the Apostle Paul is saying exactly what Jesus said. And you'll find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14, where it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Here we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14.
But unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 6.
There you have it. In verse number 17 of 2 Corinthians 6, it says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. It's the same language God used with Abraham, he used with Lot, he used with Israel. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. What's the unclean thing? Idols. Isn't Rome loaded with idols? Isn't the Roman Catholic Church loaded with idols and cup of devils and pagan worship? Yes, it is. God says, wherefore, says the Spirit of God. God says, and let me read verse 16. And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? as a result of everything already said, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The 7th verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is Paul. This is Paul, an apostle of Christ. Now, what I can't get is that these bishops claim to be the successors of the apostles and the successors of Christ, and they even have these fake parchments where they can trace their apostolic succession right back to Peter. And from Peter, right now, they claim to be the successors of Christ and the apostles, yet they don't do what Jesus and the apostles said, which was what? Come out from among them. Jesus said, I will build my church. The church is a community of called out ones who stay out. And Paul said, come out from among them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, how can you be a successor of Christ and the apostles and say the opposite of what Christ and the apostles say? Someone's got to answer that question for me. Someone at the Joint College of Bishops, some sage, some erudite, some pinhead over there has got to tell me. How do you reconcile those two? You're a successor of the apostles in Christ, and you have the opposite message, a contrary message? Let's look at Revelation 18. Let's look at God speaking. God notifying his people in the book of Revelation that judgment is about to fall upon the harlot church, the church of Rome. And consider what God says in Revelation 18 verses, Revelation 18 verses 1 through 8. Let's consider what it says. This is God's word. Everything I've given you tonight, it's a recurring motif. It's a recurring story. Abraham, get out. Lot, get out. Israel, get out. Christ says to Jews and Gentiles, get out. Paul says to the believers, come out from among them. And now finally, in the book of Revelation, you see, I can show you that from Genesis to Revelation, and that's what I'm doing. I'm giving you a survey, a quick survey of the Bible, beginning in Genesis all the way to Revelation. I can show you what God is saying to his people, the church, in all ages, to come out. To come out. Here's Revelation 18, beginning at verse 1 all the way through verse 8.
And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird.
You see, you're being asked to go back to an institution which, according to Revelation 18:2, has become the habitation of devils. That's what the Roman Catholic Church is, the habitation of devils. And these bishops are leading people by the droves to a place where is the habitation of devils. And they're setting up your local church with its pagan form of episcopacy, with its pagan form of church government, with its pagan liturgy, with its pagan vestments. It's setting it up, it's decorating your church, your local church, to also be a habitation of devils. Verse 3.
For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
What did God say in verse 4? I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Who's the her? The Roman Catholic Church. The mother of harlots. The Antichrist's bride. That's right. God says, He says to His people, why? Because they've been bamboozled to go back. Someone has hoodwinked them to go back. And in the end times, a great many of God's people are going to be involved with Roman Catholicism in one form or another due to their leaders leading them back into the tent of ecumenism. They're singing Kumbaya with the Pope. That's what they're doing right now, these African-American bishops, taking pilgrimages to Rome so that they can sing Kumbaya. Well, God says to the group of His people who have been misled back to Mystery Babylon, God says in verse 4, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. God is about to plague her. God is about to judge her. God is about to destroy her. And He says to His people the same way He said to Lot, Hurry up and get out. Don't drag your feet. Don't lollygag. Don't fool around. Don't waste any time. Hurry up and get out, because the hour of her judgment has come. So what are you doing in pagan Rome? What are you doing following these bishops back to pagan Rome? What are you doing having fellowship in a place that's the habitation of devils? Verse 5.
For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her.
Strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And her judgment will come upon her. This is not going to be a thing that will take place over a decade or over 2 decades. No. Her judgment will be as severe and as rapid as what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be just like Sodom. It's going to be a one-day catastrophic event. And here you are allowing these bishops to take you back. To take you back. This is Proposition 2, folks. Let's read it again. Let's read Proposition 2. If God is calling His people out of the harlot church Rome, and I've already shown you, I've given you the example of Abraham, scriptural examples, mind you, not out of canon law, not out of some commentary, not out of some little magazine, scripture. God is calling His people out. First example, Abraham. Second example, Lot. Third example, Israel. The fourth example, Christ is building a community of called out ones who stay out. 5, what Paul said to the Corinthians, come out from among them, my people, and be ye separate. And 6, the book of Revelation speaks of Mystery Babylon, how God says to His people, run out of her, for I'm about to judge her. So, Proposition 2, if God is calling His people out of the harlot church Rome, and I give you the scriptures to prove she's a harlot, Revelation 17, 1 through 7, and Revelation 18, 1 through 8, to prove that God is calling us out, why is it that the Joint College of African American Bishops is leading God's people back into the harlot church's midst? It's inconceivable to me. And it's inconceivable to anyone who has the Holy Spirit that these so-called prelates and princes of the church, whether they be metropolitans or archbishops or bishops or suffragan bishops or jackass bishops or Nehushtan bishops, it is inconceivable to me that they could, how they can try to reconcile leading people back to Rome, but they won't be able to. I mean, they can twist it. They can spin a yarn. They can say whatever they want to, but scripturally speaking, they don't have a leg to stand on. Not a leg. And so saints, we leave it there. I'll be back tomorrow with another zinger, with another proposition, with another one. We have 95 of them. You got two. There's 93 more. I want to close today's program with Onward Christian Soldier. Listen, we got to keep marching. And not only are we marching into battle, but we're also marching to Zion. We're marching in protest. We're marching to earnestly contend for the faith, but also we're marching towards heaven. We're marching towards the heavenly Jerusalem. We're marching towards the wedding of the Lamb. We're marching. We're marching. And while we're marching, we're battling. And while we're battling, we're winning for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love you in the Lord. God bless you. Onward, Christian soldier.